We're in the book of Psalms, the first chapter. We're going to be jumping around, but we're going to start here. I'm going to pick out the titles, but it's this one. If God talks about happiness.
Yes.
Yeah, happy.
Yes.
Now it's going to be take a little different tone as far as the happiness, but it talks about being happy. Now I'm going to start out in the first verse. It said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Blessed is the man. It says, how happy is the man. It's talking about mankind here. It's talking about women also. How happy is the person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How happy is that person that continually not walks in the counsel or the purpose of the lawless. That's what he's talking about here. In other words, he's talking to a people that knows God, knows him. Here, he's talking to Israel. He's telling them, you know my word, you know and understand my laws and my precept and my concept, and you will be happy if you don't walk in your own counsel or according to your own purpose, because what that's going to do is going to make you lawless. It's going to make you lawless. Now, just to turn the corner a little bit. When I'm going through, had a bad day at work, when things are not working out right, when I begin to open up this book, I begin to receive happiness from God. I begin to receive structure from God. It begins to put me back on course. That is what makes you happy, because now I begin to get a focus that I didn't have because of the situations and circumstances. Now God is trying to make us all happy, but it's only through the doctrine and instruction that you're going to be truly happy. Now let's continue on it. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor abides or in the roadway. They're not in the roadway of life, of the ones who stumble and fall continually. Now we're going to make mistakes, but he's talking about a practice here, a standard of living, a course of action, not standing in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, to sit down in the assembly to make mock of. I don't sit in the seat of the assembly to make mock of God's instruction. All of his instruction. It's like when you go into court. When you go to court and the bailiff swears you, and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When I came to Jesus, I swore to receive the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. The whole truth, and talking about all of the scriptures of God. Because some folks want to pick out what they want and they want to abide in that. And when you do that, that's what makes you sitting in the seat of the sinner and in the seat of the storm. But his delight, second verse, is in the law of the Lord. His pleasure or his valuable thing is in the law or the precepts or the instructions of Jehovah. And in his instruction does he meditate day and night. In other words, when I'm working, I may not have a Bible in front of me, but the word of God, a lot of times what pastors preach or somebody has preached or what God has put on my heart is always going before me. Because a lot of times you're gonna find a lot of different situations and circumstances happen to you on your job, in your home, when you encounter people that's going to try to tick you off and get you out of that happy place that the word to lead you into. Now, and so the word of God is what helps you stay focused on doing the right thing.
Amen. Amen.
So that you don't stand in that way and you don't sit down with the scorn. So once again, now my delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do I meditate, I ponder it day and night. You see, because all blessings for man is coming from his constant occupation and subjugation to God's word. You have to subjugate yourself to the word. Even when I don't like the doctrine and instruction that I may get, I subjugate myself to the word. Why? It says, and he shall be planted like a tree. I shall become like a tree, not of the field. In other words, not a wild tree. Not a wild tree, but a tree that's planted in the garden. God planted man in the garden. God had his happiness all in there. But Adam decided that he wanted to walk in the way of the sinner and sit in the seat of the scornful.
Say that.
That's why he got, well, he said, you should be planted. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me slow back down a little bit. He shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of water. The word of God is your instruction, and it is like a tree of life to the individual that meditates thereon.
Amen.
He becomes a well-watered tree in the paradise of God.
Amen.
Why? Because he obeys the doctrine and instruction. What did he tell the man and woman? He said, reproduce in my image and multiply.
Yes, he did.
That's what he told them. Now, they want to reproduce naturally, but not in his image. Okay, there was only two of them. God wanted to populate the earth. But he wanted them to do it in his nature and his character.
Amen. Amen.
They decided to reproduce, but not in the nature and the character of God. It says, so he shall bring forth his fruit in the season. When the time for you to bring forth the fruit, you're going to bring it forth in the proper season. Your leaves also are not going to wither or dry up. Why? Because you're watered by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
And whatsoever he shall do, shall prosper. You look at those, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, all of them. Those that did the instruction and the statutes of God, obeyed them, they were blessed. No matter what the situations that they found themselves in, God brought them out. Why? Because they obeyed the doctrine and the instructions of God. Now, the fourth verse, it says, the ungodly, or those the lawless ones, are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. What is chaff? Chaff is like the husk that surrounds the fruit. There's no body to it. There's no weight to it. So it gets blown around. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They're not going to be able to stand up in the judgment. They're not going to be able to rise. Dead in Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise in the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Criminals shall not be in the assembly of the justified. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord approveth. When I do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, God will encourage me. God will lift me up and let me know that I'm doing the right thing. So that I am justified before God. Not in my own way. But in the doctrine and instruction of the Lord. It says, but the way of the ungodly shall come to nothing.
Right.
It shall perish. It shall come to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
I'm going to kind of turn the corner here. Go to 1 Corinthians. These last days, God is trying to let everybody know that he moves by doctrine and instruction.
Yeah.
Folks are looking for all types of manifestations from the Spirit of the Lord. If you want a manifestation, then you have to do the doctrine and instruction of God. Every time God instructed Abraham, or we'll use Moses for example, with those sacrifices, he told him, the Lord, in one passage of scripture, he said, prepare yourselves, for the Lord shall appear to you today. Then Moses gave the instructions unto the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, so that the manifestation could come forth. Told them to get the oxen and make sacrifice. When they did that which was right, according to the doctrine and the instruction, fire came from heaven and took the sacrifice. It's only by the doctrine and instruction that God moved. A lot of folks get caught up on a whole lot of things. They get caught up on a whole lot of things, whole lot of different words and stuff that are going forth in the earth. Yeah. You better know the doctrine and instruction of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, God wants to show us, see, a lot of times when folks get caught up on things is because they're looking for something.
Say that. Right. Say that.
They're looking for something better.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're looking for something to improve us. Mm-hmm. Now, nothing can improve you better than the doctrine and instruction.
Amen.
Now, when you obey it, God gives you everything you need. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we'll start at the fourth verse. This is Paul talking. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He said, I express gratitude to the revealed God concerning you for that undeserved favor that God has given you by Christ. He says that in everything ye are enriched him in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So that you come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the doctrine, according to the promises that God said that ye are enriched, made wealthy in him in all things.
Mm-hmm.
All utterance and all knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it even a little bit more personal. Talking in the workers' meeting about God and how he has invested himself in this church. Okay. One of the reasons why God has invested himself in this church in such a way is because we have taken the limit off of God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
Folks talk about the limit off of God's word when it comes to get a blessing. Talk about taking the limit off your faith and all of that stuff because I want a new car.
Come on.
And I want a new home. And I want all of this stuff. God's saying take the limit off of his word. Because his word is boundless, okay?
Yes.
And when you allow the word of God to flow forth in its full manifestation, that's why we can say that we are enriched in everything that God has for this church.
Come on now.
And I'm not trying to brag on no man. I'm talking about what Jesus said. When you take the limit off of the word, in other words, preach the word of God without any limit. When you go to the place where God's time to go, and I'm going to say it, and I know folks are going to get mad. Got to come out the Old Testament. Got to come out them Gospels so much. And you got to go into them epistles. Because that's where the promises are. That's where the doctrine is instruction in. And that's where the manifestation that you're looking for is.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He said in everything you are enriched. When Christ comes in, he brings everything. He don't break a piece of himself off and leave it outside. He brings it all in. He said, you're enriched in everything, every utterance. Let's talk about the gift of tongues. It's flowing in here. God's using a bunch of folks in that. Not just one, but a bunch of folks. Because if he's using just one, folks get high-minded and haughty. Folks looking at that individual like they God and they holy.
Right.
When the whole body is made holy.
Right.
All manner of utterance. And in all knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Acquired knowledge. Effort by learning. In other words, Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn about me.
Yes, yes, yes.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Meaning that word, you're not talking about the things that you go through, that word, that burden of his word is easy and it's light. And it will lighten your spirit. It will cause you to be happy. It will give you the structure that you need.
Yes.
In everything we're enriched. Yeah. It says, sixth verse, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed, you. In other words, we heard about Christ. We believed on him. And his, that testimony of what they said about him is confirmed in us or established in us by the salvation.
Amen.
The anointed one, Christ, that's who he is. The anointed one came into our life and anointed us all.
Yeah. Amen.
With
Amen.
One anointing.
Yeah. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Problem is, folks try to break it up and act on their own. That's why you have to get into the doctrine and instruction so that you know how to operate.
Amen. Amen.
Teach.
We talk about corporate ministry, but if you don't study how the corporation is formed, then you can't perform corporate ministry.
Amen.
It's simple. You can't do what you don't know.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God is opened up by his Holy Spirit and placed that word in there. But if you ignore the word, you're not going to get what you need. So that that testimony of Christ was confirmed in us. It says, seventh verse, so that ye come behind, we're not lacking in any gift. God has imparted all the gifts of the Spirit in this one place. Why? By the freedom of the word. Once again, I'm not, I'm bragging on the pastor because he had the vision to allow the word of God, okay, to go forth. When that word goes forth and it's unlimited, it's going to make some folks mad because it's doctrine, instruction, reproof, and correction. We don't know it all. God's trying to get us all to line up the way he wants us to line up, but folks want to line up where they want to line up, so then that's where the division, that's why he's talking to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians, they got a thing where they want to follow this one, and they want to follow that one. And God's telling you, I done gave you everything in the one place that you are. Why are you dividing yourselves? You're supposed to be flowing as a unit.
You better teach.
You shall come behind and know gift. Waiting for the revelation or the coming of our Lord. In other words, talking about working this morning. He said, Jesus told him, you got the Pharisees, man. He said, my Father worked and I work. Jesus works and we're supposed to work. From the doctrine and instruction, from not only from God, but from each other.
Amen. Amen.
Come on
now. Amen. Let's go.
See, one of the problems is in the body, we you know, we hear from God, but we think that we're supposed to only hear from God.
Yeah.
Well, God has placed the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and the teacher in the church so that the church can become unified so that we all grow up together into the stature and the measure of Christ.
Yes.
But we don't understand how God is in us because the gifts happen to, I just use myself, the gift happened to be working in my life, but I don't understand, Brother Tony. All of a sudden a manifestation comes forth from him life and I say, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't understand that Christ is in him. Why is that? Because I'm not looking at Brother Tony, I'm looking down on him. When you look down on your brothers and sisters, that's when you get that separation mindset. Where you want to separate from your brothers and not hear any instruction from anybody but your own self. Pastor's always telling me something, and I've never got mad at him when he's told me something. There have been others in the body of Christ that have given me instruction. I knew Reverend Grant, she's having a revival. She's come in, and she's given me instruction, and I've accepted the instruction. Why? Because she's got a knowledge and an experience that I do not have, and God has placed her here so that I might be edified or built up. It's only one body,
that's right.
One Jesus,
that's
one anointed.
Right.
Now, God has different ways of putting the anointing out onto what he wants to cover. We're going to look at that right now. Go to the 12th chapter in Corinthians. I'm going to just read this. We got time. I want to hurry up and get us out. I can't do like the pastor here talking about the time. So. First Corinthians 12:1. It says, now concerning spiritual gift, that word is actually translated spiritual things or spiritual matters. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Jump down to the third verse. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no, well, we're going to skip that. Jump to the fourth verse. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are the differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is all the same God which worketh all in all. You notice the fourth verse talks about the Spirit. The fifth verse talks about the Lord Jesus. The sixth verse talks about God himself, the Father. God, the Trinity is in this operation that is in, that's going on in this church.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Seventh verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, he's giving me that manifestation of these things, so not just I profit, everybody's supposed to profit.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Everybody's supposed to profit.
That's right.
That's why Jesus left heaven. So that everybody could profit. He left where he was at the Father's side to come down here to pass out these gifts unto us so that everybody can profit.
Yes,
I'm supposed to be able to profit off of you. You're supposed to be able to profit off of me. The Bible says every joint supplied every other joint. That's how the body of Christ works, so that I can become energized by any and every member of the body. That's why God told us to fail not to assemble ourselves together, because we come together as one and create an atmosphere where God can move in. Therefore, we draw strength from one another. God is able to move at his own will. A lot of times the pastor's up and he may begin to move out before we even start preaching anything to minister, because that's the way God is moving. We call ourselves Liberty Temple. It's not an accident. God chose that name out. Why? Because he wanted freedom to move.
Amen.
So everybody's giving something to profit. Nine gifts. Now I'm going to talk. We know about gifts of faith. We just saw them operate. Pastor Hart's ministry, they still happen. That's why Sister Pam is still with us. Gifts of miracles. God's still moving. Gifts of faith. God's still moving. Prophecies working in here. God's moving. Okay? I want you to notice the two that God puts on top. And that's how we know how to move. Eighth verse, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's talking about doctrine and understanding the whole gospel. Talking about the New Testament.
Yes.
Amen.
Which is the manifold wisdom of God. And Jesus, from whom the word of wisdom proceeds from, is made wisdom to us. That's what the scripture says. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus, who has come down to because that's why I said, now folks want to do all of these things, but they're ignoring the pattern. Folks say, well, I'm going to just preach Jesus. Jesus didn't preach just Jesus. Let me give you an example. Moses, what did he preach? What he heard from God. Jesus, in his earth walk, he said, I preach what I hear from the Father. The Apostle Paul said, I preach what I heard from the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take the other two and we're going to grab onto them, but the one where Paul hears from him, we're going to ignore that. Why? Because there's mysteries and things in there that God put a mirror up, and we don't like to see what's in the mirror.
Look at. Come on now.
I'm telling you, just like it was a couple weeks ago, we were in the thing, and God used me with old movies. And I'm talking about Dracula. And how when Van Helsing found out who he was, he walked up to him and said, let me show you something, Count. And opened up this little box, and it had a mirror in it. And the Count smacked the mirror because he didn't want to see that. A lot of folks don't want to see what God is showing them about themselves. I want to see about Pastor R.D. And I want to see what's in Pastor Gardner's life. And I want to see what's in everybody else's life. No, God's trying to show you what's in your life. What's in your wallet? What's in your wallet?
Come out here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So God pulls that out. Now, it says, to another, by the same Spirit, the revelations of the writing of Moses and the prophets. This is important for the confirmation of things afterward to be spoken by Christ and the apostles. God gives the revelation of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and how to explain it in relation to the New. Because a lot of folks try to go back and dig up a whole lot of stuff that's in the Old Testament or the Old Contract. And God put the New Contract in and it's activated by Jesus' blood. That's why we take that communion. That's a reminder that we are in a new contract. And folks try to go back to the old contract and activate stuff. You can't go back and activate it if God didn't close it. What did he say? If God opens a door, no man can close it. And if God closes a door, nobody can open it. Folks trying to open doors, God didn't close. Why? Because you don't understand about the doctrine and in the instruction. Now, God has given all of these gifts to the body of Christ. Now, he goes on to say, there are many members, but one body. Okay? Some are the foot, some are the hand. You can't tell the foot you don't need the hand and vice versa. Can't tell Pastor Relliford, I don't need him.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I don't need to hear from him. Mm-hmm. Because I'm hearing from God. Well, God put the word in him. We don't all operate the same way. Let me give you a demonstration. Pastor Relliford is the prophet of the ministry, and God operates in prophecy with him. The pastor here is also the apostle. How do you know that? You just call him apostle? No. I see it by the gift that God gives me through this word.
Come on now.
It's by function that he's the apostle. Don't call him. He functions as an apostle. What is an apostle? An apostle is a sent one on a special mission. What was Paul? Paul and Peter, they were both apostles. Paul to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews, talking about the new contract or the new covenant, delivering it unto them. Talking about the body of Christ.
That's right.
Pastor here has been sent and established to bring back those things that were in the early church, because you don't hear about the early church anymore. All you hear about is Jesus walking down the seashore. And I'm not trying to make fun of that, because that was very important, but you can't stay there. Where's Jesus right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's not walking down the shores of Galilee. But folks still act like he is. He's not there. He's in the body. He said, I'm going away to make a place for you. He's made the place. The place is his body. And we are all in it.
Yeah.
So I don't operate like you do. So then that means I can't receive what you got, because you don't operate what I think of. Bible says, don't compare yourself with yourself. It said those that do that are unwise, or don't be leaning on your own understanding, because you got to get the whole picture, once again, that whole truth about the Spirit of God and the Word of God, so that you know how things are operating. Most don't know how stuff operates. So then when somebody doing something they don't like, now I don't want to be separate. I'm going to separate myself. That's what it means. And I do it in a funny way. We use the tongues to do that. When the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself.
Say that.
It builds the individual up and makes you more confident in what God has prepared you to do. That's what the tongues are. The tongues can't cast out no demons. You better know some word out of this book. You better know Jesus. It don't co-sign what you're doing. You speak in a mystery, and unless God revealed it to you, you don't know what you're saying.
That's right. That's
you speak
right.
Mysteries unto God. All I'm telling you is scripture, and it's all in this book.
Come on now.
Come on.
But folks operate out of that, and they cause themselves to be spiritual. That's flesh. It's ungodliness. Why? Because you are operating in a form and a fashion that is not current with the way God is operating. God operates in a body of believers. In the Old Testament, a lot of times he may have to use one or two individuals. In the Old Testament, God dealt with the king. Now, we have words sent to him, but God would have the king. He deal with the king. Why? Because the king, as we study, that's why I say it's important that you be here for that Bible study. In the Bible study, we found out that the king was supposed to have a copy of the law just like Moses. He was to study that law day and night so that he could rule God's people properly. When he didn't do it, God would raise up the prophet. To tell him, hey, you out of line, get back in line. When the king acted right, you didn't need the prophet. It's the manifestation of God's word. It's the obedience to God's word that's going to get you what you have need of. Come on, give God some praise. So, getting back to the way God used. So he showed me the apostle here. Now, I've been taught headship. In other words, I respect the head. I was taught that mostly by Pastor Gardner, dealing with Pastor Hart. Because I was the wild one out of the bunch. Meaning a lot of times, if I heard something that was wrong, my immediate reaction was to smash it. And you can't do that. God operates by love. So I had to learn to operate not in anger, but in out of love. So they were that's why I look at them, Pastor Relaford and Pastor Gardner, my teacher. So when God showed me this individual coming into the church, we were talking about, he was asking whether the fivefold ministry was in the church, and God inspired me through the word to tell him that it was. When Reverend Grant showed up, I didn't tell him. I asked him a question. I said, Pastor, we got the apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher. Did the evangelist just show up? I asked him to let God deal with him because God deals with the head first.
Yeah.
He may have already seen it. But if he didn't, God used me to put his eyes on it. In other words, God uses each and everybody in a different way in the church. So if I don't necessarily prophesy, my ministry is just as valid as everybody else. Bible, as he said, 12:29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of a ministry.
That's right.
No, everybody's different. God loves each and every one of us and called us to be in the place that you are. Now, what you got to do is you got to find out what your ministry is.
Yeah.
Amen.
You find out through the instruction, once again, the doctrine and instruction in the word. And by listening to folk, Bible says, submit yourself one to another.
Amen.
Because you don't know it all. Right. And a lot of times, you're not in a position to hear from on high. Right. You got to hear from somebody down here because your brain is messed up. And I don't mean brain challenge. I'm talking about situations and circumstances in life that got you all twisted up where you can't hear Jesus was standing right next to you. You couldn't hear what he was saying. But I can hear from an individual. They can get my attention. God using that individual. So we have to cherish one another. We have to care for one another. We have to operate with one another.
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise. Go to 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter. He's done. Paul saw this same thought going through the church at Corinth. Mm-hmm. And so he began to encourage. 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Mm-hmm. What that means is we're glad to see you. And we have strong affection for you. He said, you're not straightened in us, but you're straightening your own body. In other words, a lot of times folks, when somebody else tries to help them or encourage them or instruct them, they feel like they're being held back. He's telling them here, no, you're not being held back by us. You're only being held back by your own thoughts. Your own thoughts, your own idea. Like I said, when pastor tells me something, I don't never think like he's trying to hold me back or squeeze me. Or with any other member of the body, because I take instructions from the minister of worship over there. I'm a pastor. When she's up here doing that, I'm one of the group. And God moves. When he said, I'm going to let Sister Denise take over this, I didn't give him a pastor don't know what he doing, man. Talk to her. Man, where she come from? Jonah, man, she ain't did nothing. Man, been here a long time, man. Now all of a sudden they gonna put her on the spot. That's what a lot of folks think.
Amen.
I stood to the sideline, especially when Sister Danielle. Because when they were rehearsing, now I wasn't in the rehearsals, but I got a good ear for music. And we helped Sister Danielle get on point while they were doing it. So in other words, even though I wasn't directly singing the song, I was helping them.
Right. Right.
You help one another.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Amen. When the priest in the Old Testament, the high priest did all of the, he did two special, what's that? He did the atonement, the day of atonement, for going in there for the sacrifices so that the whole nation would be covered.
Right.
And he did the burnt offering, which talks about God's will.
Yeah.
The other offerings, everybody took a turn being first.
Amen.
So he, the high priest, stuck in the background sometime and did what the other ones told him to do.
Yeah. Right.
All right. In other words, so that we flow together.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you're not straightened by us or held back by us, you're straightened by your own body. 13 says, for a recompense in the same, I speak as to my children, be ye also enlarged. In other words, give back the same love I'm giving you. Even when it's something I may not like from the pastor, I'm going to give it back. In other words, I'm going to give back the love. Because the love sometimes comes through the instruction. I'm going to give it back to him. Not an instruction, I'm going to give the love back. Go to 7 and 2. It says, receive us. We have done no man. We have wronged no man.
God bless.
Make room for us. We've done wrong to no one. We've not corrupted or ruined anyone. We've not defrauded or taken advantage of anyone. Now Paul's saying, I'm speaking this not to condemn you, but because I love you. In other words, when you do the operations and the doctrine and the instructions of God, God is pleased with it. He said, in our hearts, we live together and we die together.
Yes.
Right. Let me tell you something. There have been situations in my life that this man has stood up for me. He didn't have to. He was there when I needed him. And by the same token, when it was my opportunity, I was there when he needed me.
Amen.
That's what the body of Christ is all about.
Yeah.
Maybe it ain't about money, but sometimes you need somebody just to go along with support.
Amen. Amen.
Because they need you at that time.
That's right.
Jesus is not coming down off the throne to be in the situation that you're in. Sometimes you need another individual. That's what the body of Christ is raised up for.
Amen.
I'm almost done.
Peace, Pastor.
Oh, Jesus.
Go back to 6 and 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Those that are lawless, those that don't want to conform to the body, don't be yoked up together with them. Because a lot of folks like to get together and next thing you know, they criticize what's going on.
Amen.
Or they saying that this individual don't need to be up there and all of that kind of foolishness. Don't be yoked together with that. Don't be yoked together with yourself.
Come on.
Don't be yoked together with the God of this world.
Amen.
Once again, talking about self, the old nature.
Right.
It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And communion hath light toward darkness. We're talking about light, you're talking about God, who is the light.
That's right.
He don't commune with darkness.
Amen.
Talks about over there, that John talks about Jesus the light, and the light shone itself, and the darkness comprehended it not. Man didn't comprehend it. Man couldn't comprehend it. Also says that men love darkness more than light. Why? Because man created it.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
What do I love? I love my own mess.
Amen.
Have a good time with it. That's darkness. If it's outside of the things of God, so God shines his light in there, but it don't commune with it. He's trying to bring me out of it.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring me out of my own self.
Come on now.
And place me with him and walk down the path, a lighted path that he's shown me by his word. And what concord has Christ with Belial, with something that's worthless? Or what part hath he that believeth with an unbeliever? What agreement hath the temple of God with I? 17th verse, jump over to that. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Anything that's going to separate you from the doctrine and instruction will cause you to become unclean.
Amen.
That's why God was telling them about those things. We studying about those things. There were certain things that they couldn't touch. Especially dead things. They could not touch dead things. If you touched something dead, you were out of the camp for 7 days. Don't come back in that camp. Especially when that pillar came down and touched that tabernacle. They'd be carrying you out. You'd be dead. Come out from among them, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. It says, 7th chapter again, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting ourselves in the holiness or in the new nature. That's what we're supposed to be perfecting ourselves in, allowing the new nature, the nature that Christ has sent to us, to manifest itself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, peace, temperance, meekness, right. All of those things, when you see me, that's supposed to be on display.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Especially when stuff get tough.
That's right.
You going through on your job, you going through on your home, the nature and the character of Christ is still supposed to be on display. Sixth verse. It says, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Who he's talking to? He's talking to the Old Testament. He's talking about us. We're the people of God. We're the dwelling place of God. God abides in us and moves in us and performs his manifestation as he will in all of us. He says, and I will receive you if you don't touch the unclean thing, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come on, give God some praise. So in closing, if you're looking for a manifestation from God, it's by doctrine and instruction.
Amen.
You better study this word, all of it. Because, well, like I said, a lot of folks are trying to go back in the Old Testament. They're trying to activate things, and God can put the stamp on it and say, that's done.
Amen.
You go over to the book of Hebrews, God tells you and shows you what stuff he done closed out.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. God said, I don't want you to be ignorant, and he put it in his word so that you don't have to be. But if I don't never go over there and look at it or study it, then I'm operating contrary to the way God wants us to operate. Come on, everybody stand. Come on, give God some praise.